Good evening, everyone. It's good to see each of your faces here, and welcome to our Thursday evening Journey School for the week of August 18th, 2022. I am sitting in for Marianne, our beloved abbess, who is on a much-deserved centering prayer retreat and time in the silence at St. Benedict's Monastery, gathered with other friends of the silence with contemplative outreach. So lucky. Lucky and blessed Marianne. So, but we get to be together tonight. As we begin, I just have a few housekeeping details or announcements before we begin our opening prayer and settling in to the experience of being together. First of all, I wanted to acknowledge that one of our own, beloved Rory Brose, passed away this week, and we are, I guess last week Thursday, a week ago today. And the church is hosting a memorial service for her and her family this Saturday, the 20th, at 11 a.m. in the sanctuary. That service will also be broadcast live on the watch page at consciousharmony.org. Many of us knew Rory and have been journeying with her, and she was a dear, faithful work student and loved the Journey School very much. And then a final announcement is that we will have our second pause of the summer next week, Thursday. We will not have a live class online. There will be an email that goes out next Thursday morning, but there will not be a live class next week. And you can discern amongst your journey groups if you would meet, and I hope you do meet, but there will not be a Thursday evening class next week. That's all the announcements I have, and I'll begin our time. The Christ candle is lit, and I'm going to enter into our time of prayer that Marianne oftentimes begins each class with. So I invite you just to prepare yourself consciously to enter into a place of quiet, stillness of being. Perhaps you have been moving quickly to get online tonight, and just take some deep breaths into the body as we move into a place of imminent trust and receptivity. Just take a few minutes here together in the silence and pay attention to your breath and just be in your body for a moment. Sensing the feet on the floor, the seat, the back, the bearing of the head. And so we place ourselves under the gift of higher influences, that creative spirit emanating to all of us through the silence and the circle of conscious humanity. With back upright and heart open, mind in directed attendance and attention, knowing that each of us brings to the community something of our affect and bearing, where our mind is, where our emotions are, where our body is at right now, we impact the energy of the group. I breathe in deeply all and every most hidden part of my being, all being, everything. Everything that is hurt, everything that seems darkened, harsh, shamed, maimed, ugly, irreparably damaged, diseased, unforgiven, unforgivable, resentful, resistant, apathetic, everything and anything. and I hold it as an offering, lifting it up to God in faith, in hope, in love. Knowing it in Christ's light as whole, lovely, radiant. I do this in this moment on behalf of everyone and everything in the world that seems to be out of order. And I breathe out this healing light of peace into the world and the interconnection of all worlds. Whatever else might be occurring, whatever else might be felt or thought about, this truth endures. I am, I can wish, I can work. Let us each now reflect upon that which needs to be handed over. We hand over the complexities of the day, those knots that have been tied, knowing that they have been gifts in some way to bless us. I hand over the plans for tomorrow, the worries and concerns that may arise for myself, for my family, for the world, knowing that each will be addressed as needed, just not right now. I hand over the anxieties and small fears of my heart and my life, knowing that they are known, and that with God all things are possible. I lay down my constructed life in order to yield to the divine human life. I now stand unencumbered before God and the consciousness of one another. I rejoice. I create. I laugh. Lord, visit us this evening through the teachings that the Word of God would come to life in each of us, that we would too become creators in your image. We pray this in the most holy and precious name, our family name, God transcendent, God immanent, and God omnipresent, the holy living trinity of love coursing through the universe. Amen. We enter into our lectio period this evening and encourage you to close your eyes and just listen or follow along, or use the image, which is a recent image taken, as a visio divina on the nature of beauty. I'll read the passage three times. The passage is a selection from today's email. As you listen, listen for an idea, a work idea, a word that speaks to your heart. Beauty may be one of the chief qualities of the objective goodness of our creativity. When we create something that is beautiful, or that touches our emotions on the aesthetic level in a life-giving way, it can infuse us with a sense of holy longing. It helps us wake up. It helps us remember. In ancient Greece, goodness, truth, and beauty were viewed as godlike qualities that humans could emulate. That which conveyed these qualities was to be cherished, cultivated, and sought after. Because of essence, even that which might appear physically ugly, maimed, or wilted on this planet is nevertheless beautiful. Essence is eternal, undiminished, untarnished. Essence makes everything and everyone beautiful. essence is the light of the divine absolute shining through us, no matter what. Essence is the buried treasure, the hidden pearl of great price, the golden Buddha covered in clay. Beauty may be one of the chief qualities of the objective goodness of our creativity. When we create something that is beautiful or that touches our emotions on the aesthetic level in a life-giving way, it can infuse us with a sense of holy longing. It helps wake us up. It helps us remember. In ancient Greece, goodness, truth, and beauty were viewed as godlike qualities that humans could emulate. That which conveyed these qualities was to be cherished, cultivated, and sought after. Because of essence, even that which might appear physically ugly, maimed, or wilted on this planet, is nevertheless beautiful. Essence is eternal, undiminished, untarnished. Essence makes everything and everyone beautiful. Essence is the light of the divine absolute shining through us, no matter what. Essence is the buried treasure, the hidden pearl of great price, the golden Buddha covered in clay. Beauty may be one of the chief qualities of the objective goodness of our creativity. When we create something that is beautiful or that touches our emotions on the aesthetic level in a life-giving way, it can infuse us with a sense of holy longing. It helps wake us up. It helps us remember. In ancient Greece, goodness, truth, and beauty were viewed as godlike qualities that humans could emulate. That which conveyed these qualities was to be cherished, cultivated, and sought after. Because of essence, even that which might appear physically ugly, maimed, or wilted on this planet, is nevertheless beautiful. Essence is eternal, undiminished, untarnished. Essence makes everything and everyone beautiful. Essence is the light of the divine absolute shining through us, no matter what. Essence is the buried treasure, the hidden pearl of great price, the golden Buddha covered in clay. I invite you now to offer a reflection on what you heard, what spoke to you, what work idea met you as you heard that and read that or gazed upon the image. What spoke to you this evening? Let's go ahead and raise your digital hand and I'll call on you. Karen Rink, please.
Thank you. Good evening, Peter, and everyone. This idea of goodness is something that have been focusing on for, over a year. And when I began this process, I thought, well, what is goodness? I don't know if I know, I know that ice cream tastes good. it's all along those visual lines. But the essence of what is good, and to come to believe that that goodness is indeed inside of me. And how can I? First, I need to accept it, and that took a while. And then to look at how can I bring that forward? How does it come forward? As I've learned in the work exercises in allowing, that's a big one for me. That I'm not in charge of what happens to me when, and accepting my circumstance as it is and experiencing some diminishment at the time. But going through this process, I've realized there has not been an experience, a time or a moment when I may have seen it as a very negative experience, that there was always a positive gift in this moment for me. And in that moment, I can be transformed from what I thought I was to what I really am.
Amen. Thank you, Karen, for sharing your journey, a little slice of it. It's beautiful. Who else would like to share what you heard in the reading tonight? Margaret, please.
Hi, Peter. This book that my work partner gave me, Hinds Feet in High Places. It's a lovely little book. I had never read it before, but the girl, much afraid, has some deformity in her face, and she travels with the shepherd who is taking her to the high places and taking her on a journey of transformation. And she is transformed physically and spiritually. And that's what it reminded me of.
Wow, thank you for reminding us of that beautiful book. Thank you, Margaret. Marnie, please.
Hey, everyone. I heard the line that beauty wakes us up. And this morning I had this experience where I went out on our back porch with my dog. And I was groggy. It was shortly after I had awakened. I'd already had some coffee, I think, but still, I was still in that morning haze. And we have a beautiful mature oak tree in our yard. And the way that the sunlight was streaming through the leaves, some of them were still in shadow, others were just glowing with the morning sunlight. It was a wake up. It was just a glorious moment that woke me up far beyond what coffee can do. And I love coffee. I love coffee. But I would like to set an intention for my first action of the day after rising to go outside and just be awakened in the best way possible, because beauty does awaken us in a way like nothing else can. So thank you for hearing me.
Thank you for sharing that beautiful scene with us. May it be so. You get to live in a place where you can go outside in the summer. We have time for a couple more if anyone wishes to share what you heard tonight, what landed for you. Jeannie, please.
What struck me was beauty can infuse us with a holy longing. And I realized over the last few years we've been in transition, and I've had these ideas, but I haven't acted on them. And there was another line in the email that kind of urged me that if I don't manifest them, they're lost. And so my wish is that I treasure the pearl of self-expression so that I act and create beyond fear. So
amen. That's a lovely affirmation. Yeah, I join you in that.
Thank you.
Any gentlemen wish to share, I encourage you to do so. Always wonderful to talk about beauty and creativity from the masculine perspective. Catherine, please.
Well, what I received was both the listening and the visual. And the listening part was that essence is the beauty within everything and everyone. And the part about being beautiful inside, even if the exterior gives some other appearance or the circumstances, even if that's what it is just a wonderful idea to be welcoming and open-hearted to people that I might have resistance to initially. The picture of the sanctuary also spoke to me. I've always been just wowed by the gorgeousness of our campus and the design of the sanctuary. And my favorite Save a Job is the sanctuary setup, because I love going there when I'm by myself. which obviously there's other times of the week that could happen too, but to go in there and just see that the way the light comes in through the windows at the top and the way all of the timbers are holding us up. It's just a beautiful experience of and knowing that, you know, the all the intentions that went in to making that place open our hearts and minds to what messages are offered. It's the sanctity of the sanctuary.
Hmm.
Thank you,
Catherine. Yeah. Jeff, we'll conclude briefly with you, please.
Hi, Peter. So I was listening and reflecting, had a new picture or understanding of beauty, thought of a Tiferet as of that central point that receiving essence, and from there to kind of a digest and put it out forth in creation, so that a unity of that higher emotional and intellectual and artistic, beautiful creation as creation, the beauty is essence coming through us in creation.
Amen. Thank you very much. And thank you all for sharing what you've heard. And for those that did not share, thank you for listening and being a container for all of us. Well, it is a joy to welcome as our leader tonight, our teacher tonight, for the first time, Sharon Johnson, who's beloved to many of us in our community. And we feel that this subject is an ideal subject for Sharon to shed light on through the work lens of the power of creativity in our lives. So Sharon, welcome, and bless you as you lead us tonight. Thank you. You're muted.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, as things would have it, the electricity has gone off twice here and I have no energy. So I'm coming to you from my phone and I'm sitting in the dark. So I'm going to do the best I can at this. But welcome everybody to this evening. And I'm grateful to be here with you in this way. And hopefully I'm not too dark. I'm trying to get up to the computer screen because I have battery left, but there's no lights here. So if they come on, it'll be great. So what I'd like to do is let's begin with the homework that we had from last week. This beautiful offering of sleep and rest and Shabbat, Sabbath. So if Bev, you could put up the first slide, that would be fantastic. And we'll see if I can read from my stuff over here, since I don't know where, how to get back to the main thing here on my phone. Have you got it up? Because I can't see it right now. Let's see if I can see it now. There we go. Let's see. Can you hear me? Okay, perfect. All right, so slide number one.
It's up, Sharon.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry.
Can't see because of the circumstances, but so the first part was observe your sleep patterns and rhythms. Is sleep easy for you or does it evade you? Do you find yourself consciously preparing for sleep or is sleep random for you, an afterthought? aim to create a more conscious bedtime ritual, such as not watching TV or a screen in bed, lighting a candle, saying a prayer? What do you observe about your relationship to your sleep rituals? What did you discover about your relationship to rest? Did anything change? Do you find it easy to take rest? What makes it difficult to take rest? What is your rest work? Do you take Sabbath, a day of rest? What might it look like for you? Consider watching Mirabai Starr's brief teaching on the spiritual gift of Sabbath keeping. And then the August practice of swimming. Water has a unique way of energetically calming our nervous systems, and thus in a way of fulfilling the first striving. You are invited to enter into a body of water every week this month. See what you discover and rest. So we will open this to sharing. I don't know that I can unmute Beverly because I don't have, I'm on my phone at this point and looks like I still don't have internet or lights. So if you could unmute them, that would be great. I can't even see hands at this point.
Yeah, I'll do that anyway. So
thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Okay, Steve is up.
Well, I should probably share this just from a scientific standpoint because I've been over the last few weeks following my metrics on my sleep apnea scoreboard, the leaderboard. and I check. I get up in the morning and I get the dogs fed and before Kathy gets up, and then I sit out on the porch and watch the birds, and then I check the stock returns and I check my sleep apnea score, and sometimes I have to wait for it, but I've been sleeping better and I'm feeling better, but then I worry about my score so much because I'm just conditioned that way. So I wake up at like 5:45 in the morning and I've got to go pee. But if I take the mask off, that's a ding on my score. So I wait. And then I've got to have a certain amount of time on the sleep apnea machine. And then I think I've got a great score. And then I had a leak, air leak. And now the air leak dinged my score. And I know this sounds neurotic, but this is supposed to help me with my sleep, but I get so caught up with my sleep score that I'm creating physical discomfort and not going to the bathroom when I can and just not relaxing about it. But I am sleeping better. So I was just observing my sleep pattern, but I couldn't get past all this stuff. So that's what I have to offer.
Thank you, Steve. Looks like Mary Leah.
Sharon, thank you so much for the grace that you are working under and exemplifying serenity and composure. Thank you for staying centered. And I also want to say that just seeing you in the dark and thinking about our sleep and our dream, you seem to be coming to us from this perfect place. It's perfect. So thank you for being there for us. I wanted to share two things. The first is about sleep. And we were encouraged also in the reading to think about the dream, our dream life. And I've always been one who says, I don't dream, or if I do, I don't remember my dreams. And so I pondered on that and I did some journaling, and it came to me that perhaps instead of trying to remember the details of the dreams and the activities and the goings on, perhaps I could just take away the fragrance of the dream. just the images and the essence of the feeling that was left when I came out of the dream. So I did that this week. And it was really productive because it started wondering questions and it started some different journaling. So that was a blessing. And in fact, before, as I got out of my dream sleep state this morning, the words that came to me were, something creative was happening, but I was being frugal and very wise with my resources. So I had that feeling of conservation and frugality in the midst of creativity. And then I read the email, it has to do with creativity. So I thought that was a really lovely little entry to the week. The other thing I wanted to share was about water. I was really glad to see that our practice was involved with water. I'm absolutely blessed to have a pool in my yard. And my practice is to don my bathing suit under my clothes first thing in the morning, and then to consider dipping in the pool, not so much as a big activity, but just part of the normal pace of the day. So I drink water, I go in the water, I give water back to the world, and it's nothing unusual. And I really like adding that to my daily practice, just literally getting in the pool 5, 7, even 10 times a day, just for a little dip. I also had a wonderful blessing on Sunday to have some friends over for a brunch, and we put a table in the pool, just in the shallow end where the water's only 8 inches deep, and sat and enjoyed our breakfast with our feet in the water. And that was really an interesting, really added to the deliciousness of the food. And the last thing I wanted to share about water is I was really struck today by the rain, and I had to drive during the rain, an absolute torrential downpour that left many puddles on the street where I'm staying tonight. And I took a three-year-old by the hand and we walked through the puddles with our bare feet and stirred up all of the green and black sludge at the bottom of the puddles and just watched it swirl on our toes. And it was a mini swim. And it was a blessing.
It's beautiful. Thank you. Looks like Bonnie.
Hi, Sharon.
Hi, Bonnie.
I observed my sleep patterns this week, and I have had mixed success in getting to sleep. I will have a specific routine. I do the centering prayer toward the end of the day, and I do yoga as I have been taught. And I get to rest, but a little bit, but then about a third of the way through the night, I notice my mind has, my productive, creative mind takes over, mm-hmm. and I have to do something about it. So I get up and I journal a little bit, and then if that doesn't work, I get up and go outside. I have a beautiful backyard that has a little fountain in it. And I go out into the grass, take my shoes off, and stand and, depending on if I'm able to, lie down in the backyard and enjoy feeling that the beautiful moonlight, if there is any. And last night there wasn't a lot of moonlight, and I was really disappointed because my mind was wandering. So I closed my eyes and I did a prayer, and as I something wakened me enough so that I looked up, and the sky had a big moon that was searing through the clouds, and it gave me the feeling that it was a a higher influence that was in that was connecting to me, that it was opening up into me. And I felt very much connected to everything around me. The fountain was going, and the moon was bright. And through all that, the sleeplessness went away, and I did get back to sleep, but the pattern changes a little bit day by day. But I'm noticing that if I do have that routine, it does help. And with the prayer right before, and in journaling as well, but the outdoors and getting into my shoes off and getting into the moonlight really makes a difference in the sleeping. And I did listen to the Shabbat, and it's a beautiful practice. And next Sunday, I'm going to try it again.
Beautiful. Well, you obviously don't live in Texas. You'd lay out there and you'd get eaten by ants or things, you know. So it's a nice thought of laying out there in the fountain and under the moon, but would be a little difficult over here, I think. Yes. Thank you, Bonnie. Anyone else? We have time for one more, I think. I guess that's it on that. Thank you all for sharing. I'd like to have slide 2 come up now. This is a wonderful prayer that was found in Mother Teresa's, it's a 23rd Psalm, and I hope that I can read it to you. The Lord is my pace setter. I shall not rush. He makes me stop for quiet intervals. He provides me with images of stillness which restore my serenity. He leads me in the way of efficiency through calmness of mind, and his guidance is peace. Even though I have a great many things to accomplish each day, I will not fret, for his presence is here. His timelessness, his all importance will keep me in balance. He prepares refreshment and renewal in the midst of my activity. By anointing my mind with his oils of tranquility, my cup of joyous energy overflows. Truly, harmony and effectiveness shall be the fruits of my hours. For I shall walk in the pace of my Lord and dwell in his house forever. Amen. So, as we transition into this week's idea of creating, it reminded me that the very first book of the Bible in Genesis, we have the creation story where God, our Father, the Absolute, begins by creating everything. And so what does that mean for us? Well, the story of Adam and Eve came to me, and Godly Play has a beautiful story called The Second Creation, where we know the story, right? Only it's a little different because I don't know if you can see this, but this is Adam Eve, which in their language was everyone. And we know the story that the tree of differences and the tree of knowledge, or the tree of forever, how you want to put that, were asked not to eat, but we know that they did. And when that happened, everything fell apart. And so we then had Adam and Eve, we had good and evil, and we had high and low, and God and people. The differences did something else, though. Now Adam and Eve could take things apart and they could put them back together. So we also know the story that God sent them to the edge of the garden because they can no longer go back. They had to go forward. And God went with them in this new way to be co-creators with God. They couldn't create things out of nothing, but they could create things out of something, something that was already created. And that story has always spoke to me. It's a beautiful story. And if you're interested, you could go into the Godly Play story rooms and we can show you the pieces. It's a little dark in here, but I hope you could see Adam and Eve. And so this story helped me to remember that in Manifesting God with Father Thomas Keating, he said, together with God, we co-create the dance. The creator remains the leader and sets the time, the place, and the pace to each movement. Every action seems to be perfectly choreographed. And if we've lived any amount of time, and especially in this work, those words are very true. So now, Abev, I would love to have slide 3, which is creating is a sacred process. Or maybe it has potential to be a sacred process. We're working on that direction. So the first part is when I was thinking about creating, anything that we create, a picture or some music, a poetry, a book, the beauty in our houses, the relationships that we have with one another, marriage, children, the baby in the womb, that's the creation of life in the mother's womb. So all of that seems to have some interesting points for me. And one of those is wonder. And in wonder, I don't think that we can work unless we begin to wonder about ourselves. Wonder is, it's of a different nature, isn't it? You know, when we wonder about things, it's not, I don't know it. I don't understand it yet, but I can wonder. And you'll hear this said in the Godly Play program a lot. When we ask the children, what part of the story was the best? I wonder where you are. I wonder where you were in the story I just told. So it's a beautiful way of framing our understanding or our lack of understanding. And then curiosity. If I already know, I'm not curious, am I? I just take it as face value, but curiosity opens me up into something new. Maybe I'm curious about something, so then I try to work with that in a creative way by dancing or singing or something. And then listening, of course, deep listening. I always think of the word vigilant when I hear the word listening, because there is a vigilant and a quietness that happens when I really deeply listen to others or just listening for the spirit that's talking to me. And then passion. Well, passion's a whole nother situation, isn't it? Because if I'm going to create something, there has to be some little spark that's come into me that goes, you know, there's something that wants to be created and, you know, I want to play around with this. And Ilya Delia had a really wonderful, Ilya Delia had a wonderful thing that I thought was beautiful in her book, The Unbearable Wholeness of Being. She said, Christ invests himself organically within all creating, immersing himself in things, in the heart of the matter, and thus unifying the world. I thought that was a lovely way of stating this passion, and that Christ comes in and immerses itself in our work. And then motivation. What is my motivation? We've heard Father Thomas say this a lot. As a Christian, what is my motivation for doing anything? And maybe it's for, no matter what the medium is, what art medium that you've chosen, or maybe it's just beautifying your home, eventually you come to know that your creator is creating you. And if that be true, then what is my motivation for creating anything? Maybe it's to grow my essence. Maybe something in my essence needs to see or hear or move that particular thing. And then revelatory, I was reading in Mind and Energy by Beryl Pogson about a story about Dr. Jung. He said he calls it the following the claim of the object. He said, I cut the wood, cook the meat, and feed the swan. Just recently, he has been following the claim of a large block of stone in the wall of the house at Bollingen, apparently calling out to be carved. And maybe that's the way it is with us, that as we're working through things, something calls us to move with it. And then imagination versus directed imagination. And we hear a lot about imagination in the work and about wrong use of our imagination when we're thinking about something in the past or something in the future and not being present. But for this purpose, I would say that in the commentaries, there's a on page 1367 in Observation of One's Fantasies, which is a really interesting commentary. It says, because a person with no imagination will not be able to build a bridge, a house, or anything else. So that started me thinking about, well, what is that imagination? It's the imagination that's used for something creative. And for me, even like for doing The Glorious Impossible, it feels like the work that I do with myself in the work and in silence leaves a space open for the spirit to come to me. And speaking of sleep, when I'm in the midst of the creative process, sometimes it comes to me in the middle of the night and I have to just write it down, see if there's anything useful. Sometimes during Father Thomas's memorial service, it came to me that, and it felt like it was Thomas saying, there needs to be a star on the cross. And I thought, oh my, they're never going to let me put a star on the cross. But if you've been to Glorious Impossible, there's a star on the cross. And that's how things come. It's just, it's nothing to do with me. It's just the receptivity in the process of the creation of whatever it is. And it seems to be that housework, decorating, all sorts of other things, whatever the chore or the project, is a creative process in and of itself. And so we don't want to belittle those things, because it doesn't have to be a painting or a score. It can be anything that we're working with, and that we realize that in that octave or in that triad that we're in, that there is the opportunity to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and work with us in a new and different way than we might normally work. Well, I'm going to have trouble seeing this part, but let's see if I can. It's on dark paper. It's Rodney Collin. I should probably try to figure this out, right? Get some light here. This has to do with our sex energy that we just spoke about a few weeks ago in this sacred embodiment. Recognizable sex energy is the result of laziness. I thought that was an interesting statement. It means we have not given ourselves enough work to utilize our creative force. Creative work does not necessarily mean composing music or a painting pictures. Creative spirit in the birth of the stars and the galaxies, in the mother's womb, flowing with new, forming a new life, parenting, building relationship, marriages, growing old gracefully. We can all use that as long as there's conscious attention. That was a really wonderful way of putting it. So I think we'll move on to the aphorism slide, Bev. Thank you. Okay, we'll do that. So there it is. Okay, so I don't know where my paper is now. Here. All right, working in the dark, it's so much fun. I'm kind of enjoying it, actually. It's kind of very womb-like. So this piece of art came from the aphorisms that were inscribed at the study house. And this woman, Nettie Dietwoerts, she redid them, and I have these that are beautifully done. So in The Fourth Way, P.D. Jastrzębski says, there are some works of art remaining from old days which evidently belong to man of higher consciousness. If we find such works of art, we will see that we do not understand them. They are beyond our level. From this point of view, all ordinary art, art of man number one, number two, and number three, is called subjective art, for it is based only on subjective understanding or subjective feelings of things. He says that to understand examples of conscious art, one must have knowledge and being. So I think of great works of art like the Sphinx and the pyramids and the Taj Mahal and things like this, where maybe we look at it and we look at it from our filters, and maybe there's more when we actually get into our three centers to be able to accept that energy, vibrational levels from another time and space. What are they trying to tell us? And you can go ahead and move to the next slide. Slide number five. Actually, the one that has the Bodhisattva. There it is. So, see my paper with that, but I'll see if I can read it on my screen. In the whole statue, there was nothing accidental, nothing without meaning. And gradually we understood the aim of the people who built the statue. That was indeed art. And then next to it, you see some contemporary art made out of paper rolls, paper towel rolls. And this comes from a commentary in volume 5. Hell is creeping into everything in this terrible century, even into art, poetry, and music, which used to connect us with greater mind. There is no third force in them. Everything is disconnected, unrelated, absent of third force. And actually, that was written in 1952. So I don't know that things have turned around, although sometimes I see some beautiful art or some beautiful music or something that's been created. But it is an interesting thing to think about objective art and subjective art. And if you've never thought about that, there's plenty of readings in the commentaries and the other supplemental books on objective art, etc. So I'm going to read something from which one is this, Man, the Cosmos by Christian Werdenbacher. This vivification of impressions feeds our inner life, which needs conscious impressions to grow. and may also serve a larger purpose, enabling God to see his own creation through us and other conscious observers throughout the universe. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? Maybe we're, when we see more than just our personal body sees. And this is from The Divine Dynamic by Jamie Surrett, SJ. Contemplate the magnificent outpouring of divine creativity over the billions of years of cosmic time. That creativity is recorded in the rocks, in the trees, and in our human DNA. The creative spirit that gives birth to the universe is present and acting within you and me this day. And this reminded me of something that when Kate Davenport was alive that she shared with me, and I thought it was so beautiful. They're called laminin, and many of us have probably heard of it, but they're little crosses that hold all of our cells together. And that just makes me so happy to think about all the crosses holding me together, and that each cell maybe has small pieces of my heart in it, from Paul Pearsall's work on the Heart's Code. So I have hearts and crosses all inside my body, and maybe that can make us smile on any given day and raise our level of participation in life. Well, let's see if I can read this part. It's from Mind and Energy again, from Beryl Pogson. It is the energy we have in us which can be used to create more. It is through the use of this energy which is in every man that we can start our transformation. It is the gold of the alchemist who works from the little gold they had. You have a little, and if you remember this and use it, it will increase. And that is the parable of the talents that Peter spoke of just recently. So now we'll move to the next slide, slide number 6, the movements and music. Music, along with the movements and his ideas, serves as a third means through which G. Iger Jeep transmitted his teaching. Yet in searching for the inner unity of the music, as in the movements or the study of Gurdjieff's ideas, we may be given glimpses of a profound understanding of universal laws and a precise depiction of processes in the human psyche. So I think that many of us have heard the Gurdjieff music, and if you haven't, you have a treat awaiting you. It has this idea of objective art. Man in its best formations with the music. And because he blended the Eastern and Western traditions so beautifully together, we get the resonances and the vibrations, which he likes to talk about a lot, the vibratory nature of things and people and just the energy that moves back and forth from so many things. And the movements themselves are a study in and of themselves. I feel like the work that I've done over the last 20 plus years in the movements is really brought to a new place. And if you haven't tried the movements, please do so if you're at least interested in three-centered movement. it requires everything we have and some more. And that's the beauty of that. All of this, all of the things that we've been talking about are all about beauty, as Peter was talking about in the Lexio reading. And I know that there's probably some of us that would like to share about maybe some of the images that you've seen or something that you are pondering for yourself. So if anyone would like to open up and share something that maybe you just saw in an image or something that I read that sparked some questions or some ponderings for yourself about any of these things, in any of these ideas. Right before we do that, I would like to share the that processes of creativity can be so subtle that we really don't even realize that we're creating something. And I would like to say that the work creates something in us, and because of our efforts, we are co-creating with God a shift, the transformation in us. And that for me is very exciting and very hopeful. And creating that second body with our work and our movements and our attention, our conscious attention on not only being present for myself, but for others and for the world. So I just wanted to say those few words about the creative process for me. So if anyone has anything that they would like to share or ponder, we can all ponder together. Looks like Virginia.
In talking about beauty in another language, I have four planets in Libra. Libra is beauty and balance. And there's always this little voice in my head that I'm looking for beauty and balance. And it took me a long time to realize that in one of Marianne's classes, a gospel class we had years ago, I told the group I set an overarching aim for truth, beauty, and goodness because I hadn't been taught that perennial tradition. So I realized, like the first time I walked into the sanctuary, what I was feeling intuitively was the balance in that. And that's what I'm looking for in groups of people that I want to be with. You can tell if they have, the work calls it center of gravity, or if they're always on a pendulum and swinging back and forth and overlapping or over-talking, whatever. Here again, we're back to beauty and balance that radiates from our essence, from within. And a home. You can walk into a home and tell the intention. I've been reading Rodney Collin also, and I pictured his sweet wife, the way she had intention around the simplicity and the beauty in the home. I've had contractors walk in, people I don't know, and they start telling me their life story. So there is something, almost a commitment we have to the higher forces and to let them come and work through us in this beauty and balance. So thank you, Sharon.
Thank you. Yeah, that silence and the openness and simplicity, we can be like a still water for somebody and then they just open up. It's a beautiful thing, really. Let's see, it looks like Marjorie?
Good evening. I just wanted to say I really appreciated today's topic because I am very analytical. And that doesn't mean I don't enjoy being creative. I do. But it doesn't happen for me spontaneously very often, and I don't know what to do on my own. So one thing I was led to do this year is each month I take some type of creative class. And I've tried a lot of different things throughout the year. And like one of the things was basket weaving, which I really enjoy, but it's hard. I mean, it requires work and hours. But what I experienced with that was just something that I knew nothing about. I mean, how often as adults do you try to do something you've never tried before? You have no idea how to make it work or how your hands need to go to make that happen. And it really, I feel like it expands different parts of my brain and exercises, you know, muscles that I don't use frequently within my brain. So I find it a very inspiring process, like regardless of the result, right? Good or bad, or that's all subjective at my point, right? I enjoy the process of it. And I feel like it helps me be in the three-centered, you know, it takes me to that place in a way that I don't experience very often. So I think it's very helpful for those of us who are not necessarily naturally creative or think of it on our own. It's a very helpful process.
Thank you. That's exactly what we're asked to do, and that is stretch. You know, try to grow the parts of us that are latent. You know, they're there, they're just latent. And what I heard you saying is something I feel about creativity or any kind of creative thing is that it's prayer. And so you're just praying and you're just like putting it together like a child, you know? And that's beautiful, you know, that the child doesn't go, well, this doesn't look good. They just do it, you know, and they have fun, they play. And that's wonderful. Thank you, Marjorie. And it looks like Gay.
Thank you, Sharon, because you just gave me an entry into what I was going to share about children. I had the privilege of, in my working career, of being an elementary school music teacher for 20 years, excuse me. And I got to witness how children are so spontaneous. And one thing I remember when I first came out of college, my first couple of years teaching children, I was a terrible teacher because I came out with all of these book ideas of how you should teach children music, and it did not work at all. I mean, they hated it and I hated it. And eventually I came to realize that children and music are just the perfect combination. And in the classroom, I know we were required to make weekly lesson plans. So these lesson plans for me were agony because I never followed a lesson plan that I made in my life. It was just the children would take the ideas and go with them. And they weren't necessarily the way I had envisioned them. So there's that. And then I also wanted to share this joy that I have had in the last few years of having not just grandchildren, but now great-grandchildren. And I've had one particular great-granddaughter that lived with me for a few years during her toddler and young child age. We would play together. And I learned how to play from this child. Her favorite activity was to bring several of her stuffed animals. She had 30 or 40 of them. And she would start the story. And we would create the story, whatever it might be, with these characters. We would be the characters of the animals. We never knew how the story was going to go. It just went its own way. And I had to totally become a child. I had to get rid of my inhibitions. I had to get rid of the fear of acting silly or looking ridiculous. I just was on the floor being a child with this little girl. It was an amazing experience, and it was lovely. Last thing is what you have said several times tonight, and that is, you don't have to create something that looks like a painting or a piece of music or a sculpture to exercise your creativity. I think we do it through our lives. My mother belonged to this group of women, this club, and every year they would award one of the women with the artist of life. I thought that was very telling. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Gay. And it looks like Pam, she'll probably be our last share.
Hi, Sharon and everyone. Well, both Marjorie and Gay gave me ideas. I don't think of myself as a creative person. And I was, as we were going through the evening, I was thinking about things I want to take with me this weekend to my daughter's home to inspire some creativity, in addition to movement, that I do that. But it occurred to me, I've got these two beautiful granddaughters who are now, 11 and 14, and I'm going to ask each of them at different times during this week to teach me something, because I know that they have so much to teach. They've looked to me for all these years to teach them things, but they have knowledge that I don't have and creativity that I don't have. And I want to get that from them. And I know that in doing so, it will enrich our relationship, which, as Gay is saying, it's all about life and our relationships. So there'll be not even a dual purpose, there'll be a multi-purpose for this. So thank you.
Thank you. It's like you're knitting, you're making a tapestry, with their relationships, with the times that you're together, and that you're creating these memories and these tendrils with your grandchildren or whoever the person is, or people are with you, relationships with your yoga and your yoga students. I have relationships with my yoga students, and they're very strong. They have strong bonds because we do lots of different things together. So I think that sounds perfect. And, when I ask young people to teach me something, they're so excited because they never get asked by the elders. They're never asked to teach us something. And you're right, they have a lot to say. They see a lot of things that we don't see. And it's really encouraging, not only the next generation, but for you too.
Yes.
Beautiful. Thank you, Pam. So let's see. Well, we've got another screen, a slide, I think, that is our homework for this next week that I would like to share with you. Here it is. So I love this splash of water. And those of you who don't know Dr. Emoto's work on water, maybe take a look at some of his beautiful photography of frozen molecules of water, subatomic kind of beautiful things, where he puts words on the water, or music to the water. And those that those words and music that have beauty and the energetic quality of beauty, the water crystals look like snowflakes. And then the ones where it's hate and war and different things, they don't look so good. They almost resemble cancer cells. And to think that we are so many of us have had cancer is not anything about that, but the cells themselves respond to the beauty and to the love and to the sound vibrations and nature and all the things that we've been talking about. So I love this image of just a splash in the water, and that we can splash in our water and wake it up and make it alive within us. So this week, the homework is ask for inspiration for your creative expression. Aim to express your creativity. What form of creative expression is calling you? What keeps you from expressing it? Aim to express it this week, a little each day, whether it's how you arrange the altar or maybe planting some plants or whatever you're doing. See the creative expression. What did you discover this week about creativity? Well, I guess, what will you? And creative energy and the creative process in your life. And I spoke a little bit about that we're being created moment by moment. And maybe we're opening up and aiding that creativity that is really who we really are. And the August practice of swimming. August is a good time to submerge yourself in the creative miracle that is water. Whether you dip, float, dive, jump, wade, or splash, do play with the gift of water and remind yourself of its life-giving, thirst-quenching, renewing powers. Water has a unique way of energetically calming all our centers, releasing tensions and constrictions, opening channels of creativity. See what you discover about yourself. I thank you so much for listening and for bearing with my technical difficulties and for being here, for participating, participating in this very special way together tonight, all about creating. Thank you.
And thank you, Sharon, for creating a space for us to learn about this subject. You've said so many meaningful, important things, and so many different ideas. Thank you. And thank for you. Demonstrating holding center in a very challenging situation. Bravo. And it's probably a first. We had a moonrise last week and a lacking electricity tonight. So, yes.
It is what it is. Thank you.
It is what it is, but thank you, Sharon. Well, we'll conclude our evening just with the reminder that next week we'll not be meeting in person like this. We'll resume the Journey School Thursday class on Thursday, September 1st. So blessings to all the children and youth and teachers returning back to school and their creative endeavors. I thank you for everyone, your presence, wherever you might be. I see folks from all around the country uniting together tonight with an attention to deep and profound ideas. May we each grow in our creative expression, even if it's just the way we light a candle, or even if it's just the way we whistle. Let's conclude our evening together with our compline prayer. Protect us, Lord, as we stay awake. Watch over us as we sleep, that awake we may keep watch with Christ. And asleep, rest in deep peace. Amen.